One, two, three. Good morning, Tucson. Happy Monday to you on this Monday, September 16th, 2019. Hope you had a great weekend and are ready for the week ahead. I'm on my second cup of coffee, so I'm not going to judge you if you're on your second or third. Welcome in to the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser. Every day, Monday through Friday at our new time from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, we debate, we discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting Tucson there. I am convinced that the decisions we make in the next 5 or 10 years are going to impact what the next 50 look like. And so the time is now to have the right conversations about the right things, to make sure that we reach our potential as a community. And if all that sounds 30,000 foot and happy floaty and all that, well, good. It's a Monday. You should feel that way. I'm going to help you. No, I'm just kidding. My goal is to have guests on to talk about things, to talk about things with you directly, Tucson, on our live line at 790-2040 to back that up. And it's a real pleasure to do that with you live here on 1030 The Voice. I don't know if you guys are football fans or college football fans, but man, what a good week of football. There was this one play, and I thought it was funny because it's often how I feel on a Monday. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, where this quarterback, I forget the team, I want to say maybe Alabama but or Arkansas, but I think that's wrong. Anyway, this quarterback is run. He jumps over a player. He gets hit by one guy in the feet and another guy in the head, and he spins like a helicopter and hits the ground. So if you're feeling that way, spun around all in every other direction, not knowing where you're going to hit on this Monday, let the Creative City Show on 1030 The Voice at 9 make it better. You'll hear my take on some important Tucson and national news to kick the week off. We often start our week talking Tucson, news that came in over the end of the week or over the weekend that we just haven't had a chance to talk about that I think is important that will set the tone for the week ahead. And I take your thoughts on what we should be talking about if what I'm talking about is missing something. Again, 790-2040. And then the always entertaining Louis Christensen will be on at the bottom of the hour with his thoughts on how we hide Tucson's businesses. He's always got these really interesting perspectives on things through his work blogging, through his work on media and marketing and in various tourism things. He'll be in with his the Dirty Tea hat on, his Twitter blog, with his thoughts on hiding Tucson's businesses. I'm intrigued. I hope you are as well. Well, let's get into it, Tucson, here. A little bit of national news, maybe to kick off the week. This certainly happened after we were out of studio. On Saturday, a drone attack hit a key Saudi Arabian oil plant, in which many are calling a serious threat to key international energy infrastructure, hitting Asia especially hard. On Sunday, yesterday, President Trump said that the U.S. was willing to tap into its strategic petroleum reserve. I didn't know that existed. Maybe I should have, but it's actually capital S, capital P, capital R. The U.S. has a strategic petroleum reserve called that, can be tapped into, and President Trump is willing to do so if needed after the attack on Saudi Arabia oil sites. CBS reports an estimated 5.7 million barrels of oil per day is disrupted, or more than 5% of the world's daily oil supply. That's crazy. Oil prices on Sunday surged by more than 10%, with U.S. crude oil trading 9% higher. Saudi Arabia says that it has nearly 27 days worth of reserves, both at home and abroad, which can help, and that it will be able to restore a third of crude oil output by Monday today. Although I found this to be interesting, prices may remain higher even after restoration, as traders may build in a security premium. which is interesting. I didn't know about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. I didn't know about the security premium. But this is interesting how all this happens, and it's going to hit Asia especially hard. The Trump administration is blaming Iran. It was interesting. A tweet from the president yesterday, Sunday, actually didn't call out Iran at first, which is kind of interesting. At least my stereotype of the president's Twitter is that he'll often make claims pretty quickly. He actually held off on this one. The Secretary of State Pompeo and other lawmakers are actually blaming Iran, and the White House later came out and blamed Iran after Yemeni Houthi rebels claimed responsibility. And so the Secretary of State, the White House, other congressional lawmakers are actually agreeing now with the president and Secretary of State, claiming that Houthi rebels couldn't have done this on their own. So Saturday was the drone attack. Afterwards, Yemeni Houthi rebels came out and claimed responsibility. The White House and Secretary of State and now other lawmakers are starting to blame Iran as well. It's, of course, always a concern, and I know there's strategic purposes sometimes, at least behind the president's Twitter, I feel like in the art of the deal, he's pretty clear. He'll exaggerate to the nth degree to be able to negotiate back to where he wants to. I don't always feel that's reflected in on the Twitter, but that's a stylistic thing, I suppose. But he did use the phrase that the U.S. is, I quote, locked and loaded when it comes to a potential retaliation for this drone attack. And when it comes to Iran, I don't know about you, but that language kind of concerns me. I think just there are days like today where I think we're closer to some conflict with Iran than ever before. And I don't think that would be good for anybody. But I'm not in Secretary of State seat. I'm not in the seat. So that's just one radio host's thoughts on this Monday morning. You are now free to go get another cup of coffee if you need. Number three after that news is probably good. So that's some national news that I thought was interesting. And certainly driving the news quite a bit this morning. I know it's been on some of the news breaks on this station, but I thought going a little bit deeper into it would be helpful. Let's do about 3 minutes before our first break. Let's get into an exciting piece of news out of the University of Arizona. This was announced by TEP. Recently here, Tucson Electric Power will be supporting the University of Arizona's plan to provide 100% clean energy to its Tucson campus by the end of, get this, 2020. We'll begin providing 100% clean energy to its Tucson campus by the end of 2020. TEP will dedicate, and this is coming from their press release, TEP will dedicate portions of new wind and solar energy projects to serving the university's energy needs. If the agreement is approved by the Arizona Corporation Commission, the U of A will be the largest research university in the country with a plan to offset all of its Scope 2 emissions, greenhouse gases produced from the generation of energy purchased from a utility provider. Get this, the agreement would provide the U of A with affordable access to energy from two renewable systems for 20 years, beginning on the first day that both systems are operating. I found this to be interesting. One of those two renewable systems is here in Tucson. It's the Wilmot Energy Center. Did you know this? I didn't know this. The Wilmot Energy Center has approximately 314,000 solar panels. This will be this will go online by December 2020. The Wilmot Energy System will include 314,000 solar panels on 1,130 acres near South Swan Road and East Old Vale Connection Road. Again, that will be online by 2020. That will be a solar component, a solar site to this plan. The other site that TEP taps into is a wind project in New Mexico. So these will be the two sites that the U of A will tap into to provide 100% clean energy to its Tucson campus by the end of 2020. TEP expects to provide more than 28% of its power from renewable resources in 2021. This doubles the 2025 goal for the state of Arizona. I don't know about you, but this is pretty cool. There's a lot of this that I didn't know about. I certainly didn't know about the 1,100 plus acres of solar power going in here in Tucson by the end of by the end here of 2020. And, you know, when we get news across the desk, right, that shows that the University of Arizona will quite likely become the largest research university in the country with a plan to offset scope 2 emissions, right, 100% clean energy to its Tucson campus by the end of 2020. I mean, that's something that agree or disagree with, like, got to talk about. That's a big deal. That's a public university, pretty cool stuff. So there's a piece of national news for you, a piece of local news. When we come back from the break and before we talk to Louis Christensen about how Tucson hides its business, I want to talk a little bit about the new Tucson International Airport collaboration, a new plan to accelerate development with Sun Corridor around the airport, and then talk a little bit about the Downtown Links project, an infrastructure and roads project that should go live here in the next 12 months or so after bids came in last year that were tens of millions above what Tucson thought it was going to pay. So they put it on the back burner, went back to find more options. We're now getting news about those options. Let's go to our first break. When we come back, more local Tucson news as we talk Tucson, get into the week here on Monday, September 16th, 2019. Louis Christensen coming up. Fast hour ahead. Don't go away. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, welcome back to the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice as we kick off this week here Monday, September the 16th. Don't forget the difference between listening to this as a podcast and listening to it live is that you can call in on our live line 790-2040 and chip in with your news or items of the week driving the news of the week. We always try to, on a Monday, sit down and go, hey, what came in over the weekend? What's going to drive the news of the week? What should we be talking about here on this show? What's important to know about Tucson, especially locally? We talk about key Tucson news, 790-2040. Feel free to call in. Let me know what's on your mind. What should we be talking about a lot in Tucson? What is important? I did a little bit of a deep dive into the news around oil prices, the drone attack that hit a key Saudi Arabian oil plant on Saturday. Also talked about an exciting new partnership that, if agreed on by the Arizona Corporation Commission, that TEP will support the University of Arizona's plan to provide 100% clean energy to its Tucson campus by the end of 2020. Notable for many reasons, but one of which is that that will make the U of A the largest research university in the country with a plan to offset all of its scope 2 emissions. That's notable to me. Again, whether you agree or disagree with the motive or with the result, that's notable. The U of A will be the largest research university in the U.S. of A. With a plan to offset all scope 2 emissions. Wanted to quick touch on, I meant to on Friday, I didn't quite get to it. By the way, Tucson, another thing on Friday I meant to get to. Have you seen the scooters driving around Tucson? There's two kinds, if you've noticed. One you have a seat on, and one is more like a Razor scooter you don't have a seat on. So there's two companies that are trialing e-scooters in Tucson. I have driving around seen scooters lined up on the street in a good way. I've heard also some found their scooter thrown in a bush somewhere when they went to go find it. So it's not all good. It's not all bad. It's I mean, it's the first few days, right? It launched on Thursday. What are you seeing out there? What are you seeing with those e-scooters as you're driving around probably the kind of core 5 or 10 miles of Tucson? It's not a huge scope. It is app controlled. They are geographically what they call kind of geo-fenced, if you will, where you can't drive them on the U of A. So let me know, what are you seeing out there, Tucson? 790-2040. I was only slightly annoyed driving through downtown, having to weave around e-scooter drivers who were only sort of obeying the law. but, you know, not enough to get gretzy about. 790-2040. I believe it was Wednesday, the Sun Corridor and the Tucson Airport, International Airport officials announced a new plan to accelerate development around the Tucson International Airport. I haven't been able to dig into this yet, but I'm looking at the reporting done by the Star, and I'll tell you why I bring that up in a minute. It's called Sun Corridor. Tucson Airport officials unveil new development plan for TIA. I refer you to that because the 2019 economic blueprint is a link in that article that you can go to, and you can at least read, you can read the full report or you can read the summary. So if you're interested in the details around this new 2019 plan to accelerate economic development around the Tucson International Airport, you can go there. You can also go to Sun Corridor Inc. And you can go to Sun Corridor Inc.com, and you can find the blueprint for that plan. So more details there. I'll be digging into it as well, maybe trying to get some guests in around that. By the way, I texted Arizona Corporation Commissioner Leah Marquez Peterson this morning. I said, hey, if you guys over at the ACC green light this deal between TEP and the U of A, we're going to work on getting all those parties in on the show. So she's going to help me do that if the ACC as a whole pushes that through. So I'm excited about that. The plan identifies three major land parcels for potential development, and really the focus is leveraging the airport location to bring in aerospace and defense and transportation and logistics businesses. There are three major land parcels for establishing special trade zones, making airport land shovel ready, a new airport terminal, and an entrance link to the I-10 by a limited access expressway. As I don't think we reported on this show, but don't forget that back in July, the board of the Tucson Airport Authority voted to change leadership over there. It's probably important to note. Bonnie Allen was replaced with Danette Bewley, Vice President of Operations and COO since May of 2014. TIA Board Chair Lisa Lavallo is also cited in this article about TIA and the Sun Corridor. I don't think that they've chosen a new official CEO, but there is an interim president and CEO. So it'll be interesting as all this develops, how that transition takes place. So go ahead and check that out. The last item of the day, and there's a lot to wade through here, and I was hoping to get a better grasp of things before I came on the air, but a lot of technical stuff here. The Downtown Links project is taking a step closer to construction. If you remember last year, there were some pretty high bids that the city of Tucson just couldn't pay. So they went back to the drawing board, and it looks like that they have been able to find a contractor that is a little bit closer to the dollar figure the city can afford. The hope is that full construction can begin as early as 2020, a joint venture of Granite Construction and Borderland Construction. If you remember, the Downtown Links overall project focuses on about five key things. Constructing a grade separated railroad crossing on 6th Street. If you've been on 6th Street, I'm hearing hallelujahs and amens from you listeners out there in Tucson land. 790-2040, you can call in and give me your amen and hallelujah if you'd like. But if you've ever ridden on 6th Street, not only does the train cross there, but it's as the train is starting to pull into the station. So it's also one of its slowest points. By the way, did you know, because I told you my story about 22nd, remember 22nd Street last Tuesday, I got stuck there. Did you know that the railway there is actually able to set the rules that the city has to follow? Right, so the railroad allows cars to pass over the rail. I had no idea. So for all of you frustrated car drivers out there like myself, let's just be conscious that the railway could say, hey, we're tired of you too. You can't cross here anymore. I had no idea. That was a little snippet from the TDOT director on the way out of the studio. I thought that was kind of interesting. Connecting Aviation Parkway to Interstate 10 is another project of downtown links to relieve downtown traffic. I think that's a good idea. Completing drainage improvements along the Arroyo Chico watershed, maintaining or increasing bicycle and pedestrian connectivity with downtown, involving a deck plaza and multi-use path, and enabling the city to apply for a quiet zone. It sounds like that's all being divvied up into three phases, and it's anticipated that things will be able to get going within the year. So that is good news. Tucson, I'll keep the lines open for you. We're going to have Louis Christensen calling in for the rest of the hour about how Tucson hides its business. Tucson hides its business. What is he talking about? He'll be on in a few seconds after the bottom of the hour news to tell us why he thinks that. But I'll leave the phone lines open. What did I miss? What are some things that are teeing off the week here as far as news, things that we should be focused on either nationally or locally? If I miss something, give our live line a call at 790-2040. Would love to know what's on your mind, Tucson, any of you listeners in our Southern Arizona region. We'll be right back again with Louis Christensen. He curates the Twitter blog, The Dirty Tea, and he thinks Tucson hides its business. We'll come on back and talk more about that after bottom of the hour news. You're on the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser. It's Monday, September 16th, 2019. We'll see you back in a minute. Tucson, welcome back into our Monday show here on the Creative City Show. Every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 to 10, our new hour here on 1030 The Voice, we talk about people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. We just finished with our first half of the hour we dedicate to talking Tucson, news and items coming out of the weekend that are important to know and to discuss that will likely shape the week ahead. It's our way of sliding into the week along with a cup of coffee or two, or who's judging, three. And that's how we started the week, and I'm glad we did together. And we did it on 790-2040. That is your live line number to jump in and join the conversation. I'm going to keep my promise, even though Louis Christensen is on the line for the rest of our hour. Give us a call at that number, 790-2040. Let me know what's on your mind here for the week. What's important to be talking about, watching, paying attention to for the week ahead. In the meanwhile, as we await your calls on that, Louis Christensen, happy Monday to you. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, happy Monday to you. I'm only on my second cup of coffee, so I probably have to catch up.
You have a half an hour to get to that third cup, so.
All right, there you go.
We should start calling these three-cup Mondays.
There you go, I like it.
Maybe we can trademark that. I bet somebody already has. Louis, did you see that LeBron James tried to trademark Taco Tuesday? Why am I not surprised someone already did that?
Yeah, I did see that. I guess it's a little bit better than Ohio State trying to trademark V, as if they're the first people to ever call themselves that. So, yeah, crazy times.
Oh, Louis Christensen shows why the Dirty Tea Twitter blog has a lot of people following it. You curate a kind of, I don't know, magazine commentary combo style Twitter feed that talks about your perspective on Tucson, right, Louis?
Yeah, that's right. And I try and post a lot of polls. I've always found that asking questions usually uncovers better answers than just me writing stuff out. So if you want to see kind of what's going on in Tucson, business, lifestyle, real estate, local news, opinion, sports, you can hop onto the Twitter sphere and follow at the Dirty Tea Co. That's just the letter T, at the Dirty Tea Co for that. So the most recent poll was asking people what affordability actually means when it comes to affordable rent, because we throw that term around a lot. And I'm like, you know what? I've never heard someone actually put a dollar amount to what they think. So
you know why, Louis?
Yeah, why is that?
Because the answer depends on who's answering the question.
And that's very true. So I know that asking that question on Twitter, where you need a computer or internet connection or a smartphone, is probably going to have an elevated number because you are automatically asking people who have some sort of means to that. So it did come out to $700 for a $700 per month for a two bedroom house or apartment in Tucson. That was the number that they came up with on my poll. Again, I think that's trending a little high. Like I said, because I'm asking people who do have access to internet, smartphone, whatever it may be. Anyway, that's that.
Very interesting. You know, around the country, just to add an angle on this, when you ask 25 to 34 year olds that question, Louis, the number is 900.
That was the second place one.
Yeah. So I feel like for Tucson's cost of living, that 700 is probably a pretty good benchmark, I would say, for at least maybe, what can we say, like workforce housing, right? Not low income, not market rate, but kind of workforce.
Oh, again, it really depends. Everyone has what they're going to think is worth overspending or spending below. So I really tried to ask it the way I framed the question is, this isn't what you think is affordable. It's just like, what do you think the term affordable actually means? And so it's a curious number. There were a lot of people who said under 1,100 well. That was the third place.
Interesting.
Beating out 500. So it was kind of what I expected, but I thought it was going to lean more towards the 500, 700, not the 700, 900. So just kind of something to kind of think about as we start, again, terms are great, but if we can't put an actual number to it, then we're just talking ourselves in circles. We need to actually come up with a real plan there. So
really interesting. We didn't even plan to cover that, but yes, it happens. Let me do one more pitch for people to go and check out your Twitter feed there, Louis. Is on those polls, as soon as you make your pick, you get to see how everybody else has picked so far. So I think it's interesting two-way research, right? It's good for you to know what people are thinking, but people can also see in real time, hey, I thought it was this A, B, or C, but the rest of, whoever's following and taking this poll thinks this. It's kind of some real-time pulse of, probably not all of Tucson, but a piece of Tucson, right?
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing to mention there, I wish Twitter did a better job of really saying this, is your answer is actually hidden. I can't see it. The world can't see it. I'm sure there's a bot at Twitter who can. Beyond that's it. So if you can answer pretty honestly, and it's really just you. So I like it. It's a good way to kind of figure stuff out. I try and post good content. Like you said, I think curating is the best way to really describe it. It's just pulling from as many places as possible, because I don't think a lot, and we've talked about this before, you and I personally, a lot of places in Tucson, a lot of media outlets, a lot of big voices don't talk about the successes that we have in the business world and the changes that are happening on the business side of stuff, except from the negative. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this is getting built. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. So I want to bring another, at least a semi-neutral, if not slightly more positive growth voice to the market.
And it's one of the reasons why I really enjoy having you on, Louis. Not only do I personally think, and I'm not just blowing smoke up your pant leg there, I think you're entertaining and also fairly educated on the issue you talk about, but I really try to get a diverse array of perspectives on the show. I try to get housing advocates and activists on the show, and I try to get, business boosters and development experts on the show, because I think having these kind of platforms where we're hearing all different angles on an issue is really important to Tucson's overall growth. So I know you agree with that, Louis, but I also want my listeners to know, again, I really try hard to have a diversity of viewpoints on the program, because it's important.
And you do a good job, and I think that the thing you do really well is, just because you're pro something doesn't mean you're the anti-opposite, right? Just because you're pro growth in Tucson doesn't mean that you hate how Tucson is right now. And the opposite is also true. If you love how Tucson is now, that doesn't mean you don't want to see it grow. So the more we can have those open conversations with people, especially people who might not, on the one sentence synopsis of an idea, agree with us right out of the gate, the better we're going to do as a community, both business and you know, livability.
Well, I will refer to a popular Twitter and social media line. Say that louder for the people in the back.
Yeah, seriously.
Because I think that's advice that is relevant in many areas of our society right now. Louis, we got about 3.5-4 minutes before I'm going to get the eye to go to a break. Let's intro the idea that you pitched me for this segment, and your perspective is always intriguing. You say that Tucson hides its business. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, and it does a really good job at it. So I was recently visiting some friends up in Scottsdale, where I lived for a couple of years in the dark ages of my life, not really, but between my living and growing up in Tucson and moving back about a year and a half ago. And I was driving up the 101 around the outside of Scottsdale, and I just noticed, and again, I've lived there for 4 years, but I'm like, wow, there's a lot of business happening here. I look over and there's Axon, who puts together kind of like the tasers for police forces and whatnot in personal defense. There's financial institutions right along the 101. There's like tech companies. There's like therapists and all sorts of legal stuff all along the 101. And it goes all the way into Phoenix as well. Just knowing the area, there's just business names plastered on the sides of really pretty buildings. Or what, you know, some people would consider pretty. And then I drive through Tucson, and I actually just flew into Tucson not long ago from Fargo last week. And driving around, and it's houses, it's businesses, you know, kind of smaller ones. It's restaurants, and then there's nothing. And I'm like, okay, I just want to make sure I didn't take it just an empty route. And I look at where we put, like, let's say Too Simple. They just made the news, right? Forbes magazine, UPS invests in Too Simple, the self-driving truck. So the larger, you know, semi-truck company. That's here in Tucson, right? They're based here in Tucson. Good luck finding it. Good luck seeing it from a road, right? So that's my tease, is what are we doing in Tucson? Why are we hiding all this growth that's actually happening? These buildings are getting built somewhere, and yet when you look around, you don't see a thriving business environment at all.
Louis, this is interesting. And we're going to go to a break because I want to give our listeners an opportunity to chime in. Because in a way, you're kind of asking almost a rhetorical question. Mm-hmm. You teed up our time here by saying, I think asking questions is often just a good enough start, you know. And so if our callers have an answer or a thought, 790-2040 is the way, Louis, that they can call in and chime in. Do you sense that there's a strategic reason for that? Is it just because, you know, our highway and freeway system is more limited and there's just less area? Or, you know, I mean, some would look at kind of Ward 5 area maybe and say there's been a lot of industrial growth along the 10 there. Let's just pause there, actually. We hit our break, and I feel like let's dive in when we get back. Sounds good.
I like it. Let's do it.
Cool. We're with Louis Christensen, 790-2040. We're giving you about 2 minutes, Tucson, to jump on the line and chime in. An interesting question this morning. Why does Tucson hide its business? Do you agree? Do you disagree? It's just an interesting perspective I hadn't thought of before. So I have Louis Christensen on to talk about it. He curates The Dirty Tea on Twitter, a really interesting Twitter blog about everything Tucson. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back. Tucson, welcome back to the Creative City Show here on this Monday, September 16th, with me, your host, Zach Yenser, and our guest on the line, Louis Christensen, talking about a question he's been asking. Why does Tucson seem to hide its business? Hey, one quick piece of news that's pretty cool. The Assistant U.S. Education Secretary Stump is visiting Tucson's University High School today as part of 2019 National Back to School Tour, a week of travel in four states to spotlight schools that are rethinking education as part of the U.S. Department of Education's 2019 National Back to School Tour. They are here in Tucson today and in Arizona. As we speak, they are at University High School in Tucson. That's pretty cool, right, Louis Christensen? Pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. They need to help out TUSD as much as they can get it. So,
Yeah, you know, a lot of people forget that University High is part of TUSD. I was seeing that kind of on the interwebs. University High is a part of TUSD.
Do you want to know why they don't think that? You want a hot take
there? I mean, if you want to go there, Louis Christensen.
Yeah, because they're doing a good job. Sorry, but that's just the truth. Get better, TUSD. Help our kids out. Come on, let's go.
So, for now, a part of TUSD, University High School, is getting some recognition. But Louis Christensen, I don't think that you're wrong. I think whether it's stereotype or otherwise, a lot of people would not loop in University High with TUSD. Louis Christensen, we were wanting to dig in a little bit. You were asking a question, and I don't know if you have an answer. You're just asking the question, why does Tucson hide its businesses? Is this geography? Is this strategy? Is this, what do you think it is? Real quick thought there, and we'll get to Gloria on our line who wants to chime in. Go ahead, Louis.
Great. Well, yeah, first off, just being able to say, like, why are we doing this? Why are we building something here versus here? I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into that, right? There's, like, the environmental issues. There's the developer issues. There's the, you know, just the money. It's like, hey, if I'm going to build it for, you know, $10 million cheaper over here than over there, then why would I? So it's like you said, this is rhetorical, right? There's not a culprit here, but I do think it is kind of systemic of our city. When we think of our city, we think of this as a beautiful place to retire. This is a beautiful place to visit. This is a beautiful place to kind of live for a little bit and then maybe get out. This is a great place to come to school, at least university. And then it's a good place to eat food, but it's not a really good place to get a job. And you're going to hear that a lot. A lot of the millennial flight, a lot of the brain drain and all that. So I think the real problem is that we don't really celebrate when businesses open up, right? Too Simple, this like state-of-the-art company, they're doing amazing things. They've been testing like crazy. And yet not a lot of Tucsonans could pick them out on a map in Tucson. And that's not the case with like TEP. They have a nice building in downtown. Same with Hexagon and Caterpillar. Those are three really, really great buildings because you can see them. You can see the growth. You can see kind of the business environment picking its head up. So that's what I would really love to see. Again, this is me just shouting into the nebulous. I would love to see Tucson make a real move to put our businesses when we can acquire them. And a lot of work goes into that in the forefront. I'm not saying we need to stop talking about tacos. And like I said on Twitter, more the community aspects like the Santa Cruz River project, I'm saying that it should be of equal footing. When we land a good-sized business, I mean, Texas Instruments, they're about to build a new
Williams Center
facility, right? Exactly. And it's like off of the main street. So hopefully you can see it, right, as you're driving down the road, because that would be fantastic. Because as you're driving into Tucson, especially from the airport or from, you know, up north, I want people to see this is a thriving community, not just for street tacos, not just for really cool cocktails, not just for coffee or whatever your thing is, but you can come here, you can open up business, you can invest in Tucson, you can move your family to Tucson and actually grow and thrive here.
I think, Louis, you're talking about a balance, and I doubt, getting ahead of maybe any listeners' questions, I doubt you're thinking or saying that Tucson should be like Scottsdale or like Silicon Valley or like Austin. I think you're talking more how do we look at what some of these other places are doing and figure out how to make Tucson the best Tucson from those observations. Louis, one of the reasons why this platform is so valuable to ask those rhetorical questions is because listeners like Gloria can call in at 790-2040 to maybe throw an answer your way. Gloria, you're on the line with Louis Christensen and Zach here. Go ahead.
I think you hit the nail on the head with geography. The curse and the blessing of Tucson is that we have so much land, and we're spread out so far that you would need to drive for days to see everything that we have. And we have Davis Mountain and the university, which are huge employers. But we have Caterpillar, which you have to drive away and then down south and west and blah, blah, blah. Everything is so far away from each other. And it is tucked in, if you will. We are not those places that have big concentrations, if you will. of what needs to be done. I teach English to adults, and as they tell me where they are working or their spouses are working, it's all over the place. It is, and one of their problems is transportation, you know, to the workplace, creating things out of plastic and assembling things that then go back into Mexico and then come back again to be have another piece added to it. Yeah. So it is, we cannot see it because we're spread out so far.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, go ahead, Louis, because I'm hearing what we talk about a lot on the air, density and transportation. There's a reason we talk about it a lot. Go ahead, Louis. What's your thought? I thought that was a great call.
Yeah, no, it really is. Thank you, Gloria. We are very spread out, and that's something that, you know, when you're on the far-flung spread and that's where your life all happens, it's really nice. But if you're needing to commute in and out and in and out to do business and work and all those things, it can be very strenuous. So, yeah, I definitely don't think we're ever going to see Tucson become this place where things are centered, like in one big center, as much as downtown Tucson wants to keep growing. I would love to see us having little micro hubs around town where, you know, like kind of like the tech parks. Those are really great. But again, like you said, in one of your comments, it's tucked away. And I think that's the issue that I'm really trying to hit on is it's great we have the businesses here, but we tuck them away. And so looking at it, you know, just from like a marketing and brand perspective of the city, if you will, when you're driving through, it would be a lot better for us trying to land new business, trying to land new people coming here. So when they land in Tucson, they think, oh, I can live here. Not, oh, this is a nice place to visit. That's my big thing. So, yeah, we're definitely spread out and we need to, again, this is one of the scary things for a lot of Tucsonans. If we want better transportation, we need to increase the density in places that we live, work, and play. And that's a scary balance.
Louis, you're dropping all these four-letter words. You started with Scottsdale. You're ending with density. Man, we're gonna boot you out of town here pretty quick.
Yeah, definitely. And that's
all these exactly young professionals right. Talking transportation and density.
Transportation. Yeah. And, you know, transportation, the funny parts of transportation to me, let me just take a quick little side note. I know we have only a couple minutes, is we love it when we go to other countries, right? Like, oh, I loved the tube in London and my dad loved public transit. He hates renting cars. And yet when you say it here in Tucson, it's like, well, why would we ever need that? So yes, right now as it's set up, not a lot of people use public transit. Not a lot of people can because I'm not going to do it. Even if it was cheaper than having a car, it's more convenient because it's so spread out. So yes, we do need to increase density. Does that mean a bunch of tall skyscrapers? No, that just means let's think intelligently about how we build, and as opposed to moving further and further out away from the business communities, life kind of happens around it as well.
You know, Louis, I think we have a K on the line we'll get to in just a second. But I think one of the issues I've seen, I even saw it last week, Louis, is we frame these conversations as a side note to your side note as either we kill the car or we have density and better transportation. And I think that's a lose-lose, non-starter conversation that I think is completely unrealistic for Tucson. When we start with unrealistic conversations, we steer away from the serious issues that business growth, economic development, Tucson's success depends on us having smart conversations about these really difficult topics. And I get tired of the non-starter ways that we try to start these conversations in Tucson. Louis, do you mind if we head to Kay real quick? We have 2 minutes left. Kay, thanks for calling in. You're on with Zach and Louis.
Hi. I just wanted to ask you, you mentioned something about the Williams Center. Is that in addition to the one that they have, going to be in addition to the one they have on Broadway and Craycroft?
Louis, do you have...
I think they're expanding the one on Broadway and Craycroft. I think they own that land there.
It's a new build, though, right, Louis?
It is a new build, that's right. Yeah, so they're I think starting, ooh, top of my head, Kay, good job. I think beginning of next year's construction, I think it's supposed to be starting over there at that facility. They're expanding it from what I've read. I might be wrong, Kay. I wish I was in front of a computer to Google it, but
Well, I am Louis, so you both are in luck. The new Texas Instruments building is on the rise on the last vacant parcel in the Williams Center near East Broadway and South Craycroft Road, being built by Sunt Construction over there. So I think that's on the it's next to the existing build. Louis Christensen, man, as much as we try to cram this into a half an hour, we're not very good at that, are we?
No, go for longer for sure.
Oh, man. I think we covered a lot of ground. We're down to our last few seconds. One more time, sir, the Twitter blog that you curate, where can people go find that?
Yeah, so on Twitter, at the Dirty T, just the letter T, at the Dirty T Co, C-O. You'll find it there. Definitely give me a follow. I'll be posting a couple more polls here throughout the week. It's not just serious stuff, it's fun stuff.
Totally.
I go after Dick Vitale quite a bit because, you know, bear down. But yeah, no, give a follow. And again, like, if you don't agree with my opinion, please share it. Like, that's the whole point of this, because I have a feeling Tucson can balance that business and growth.
Absolutely.
With our current culture and everything else. We just have to do it intelligently. Let's start killing two birds with one stone.
Louis, thank you, sir. Tucson, join me at 9 tomorrow. Callie Sanchez from IBM. Much more Tuesday at 9. See you there.